But speaking of picnics, so here it is, Picnic Sunday. I'm like, is there a picnic story in the Bible? So I'm going to read you the very best picnic Bible verses in the whole Bible, because it's the only one I could find. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 was written by King David, but if you remember, before he became king of Israel, he was a shepherd. As a boy, he spent his time out in the fields, out in the wilderness, out in the desert, taking care of his father's sheep. So he would have to, you know, and by the way, can I remind you, it wasn't East Texas. It wasn't like super green, lush area. It was Israel. It was the Middle East. So like, if you were going to find green grass for your sheep, you were going to have to know what's up. If you were going to find water for your flock, you'd have to be a good shepherd. This wasn't easy shepherding. This was hard shepherding. This was the deep end of the shepherd pool. But David had a keen understanding of sheep and shepherding the whole thing. So let's just say he knew sheep really well when he wrote this Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now, notice the shift that's about to come right here, and notice the picnic we're about to set. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely, goodness and mercy and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So we're reading a story about a shepherd taking great care of his sheep. And if you fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. So if this is the illustration we're using, that Jesus is the shepherd, that means that we are the sheep. And in fact, both Peter and Paul in their letters, they referred to the people of God as sheep. Many illustrations and analogies that we, the followers of Jesus, are like sheep following after our shepherd. But and we might think of a cute little lamb and we're like, oh, that's so cute. Like we're like a little soft, little fluffy lamb. That's nice. I want to be a lamb. 2,000 years ago, or even 3,000 years ago when David first wrote this, it wasn't a compliment. It wasn't like, because the people of Israel, they knew sheep very well. Sheep are stupid. Sheep are stubborn. Sheep are filthy. And sheep are fearful. I know that didn't describe you or the church, right? So when David and then later Jesus and Peter and Paul were using the illustration that we're like sheep, this was not a compliment to the ancient people of Israel. This was like, who are you calling a sheep? Because sheep, they need more care and they need more attention than any other livestock animal. Think about it. A sheep has no defense system whatsoever. Like if a wolf runs up or, you know, they're the sheep, they're like, and they're just going to like turn their neck and like at least get the carotid artery. If you're doing it, just go for it. You know, like they have no defenses whatsoever. A sheep needs a shepherd. So would you mind if we read Psalm 23 one more time? And this time imagining we are the sheep, he is our shepherd. And in verse 1, the Lord says, he is my shepherd. It's personal. He's my shepherd. You know what I'm saying? He is my shepherd. That's my shepherd. Sometimes when I, the older I get, the less cool I dress when I have to run to the grocery store. So sometimes when I'm with my daughter who's 16 and we'll pull in and I'll be like jumping out and I'll be like, hey, you gonna run in with me? She will look to see what I'm wearing first before she decides to go in to the store with me or not. She is deciding, do I want to be with my dad or not, depending. So what David is saying, this is my shepherd, and in him, I have all that I need. Did you notice that he said all that I need? Yeah. Not all that I want. Oh, snap. Because in this day and age, we want what we want, especially Americans, don't we? We want what we want. Like, give me what I want. I have a right to what I want. Only Americans think like that. Like, no, there's like 7-8 billion people on the planet. Only Americans. We're just like, yeah, give me what's mine. I deserve it. It's my freedom. And give me what I want. Everybody else is just like, hey, can I have some food like once a day? That'd be great. Clean drinking water that doesn't give me disease? Perfect. Americans are like, I want what I want. The Lord is your shepherd. He loves you. He'll give you all that you need. All of your physical needs. All of your emotional needs. All of your spiritual needs. So here's my question. How can a Christian ever be sad if all of our needs are being met by the Good Shepherd? Isn't that a good question to ask yourself? Next time you're throwing a temper tantrum, next time there's traffic, next time you didn't get your order at the restaurant the way you ordered it, next time there was a mistake on the invoice for 36 cents, next time you want to throw a first world temper tantrum, like, you have a roof over your head, you have food in your belly, you have an amazing church with an amazing, stunningly handsome pastor, you've got air conditioning, you've got cushioned seats, you've got hamburgers and hot dogs waiting for you. Oh, and your sins have been forgiven and you're going to heaven. Yeah. And you have everything you need, right? You should be waking up every day like, it's morning and I have all I need. You might not have what you want, but you absolutely have what you need because he loves you and he's a good shepherd. All right, back to our notes. Verse 2, he lets me rest in a green meadow. Other translations say he makes me rest in a green meadow. So he will lead you to a green and lush pasture. Why? Because he wants his sheep's belly to be full. God wants to bless you. God wants to, in a land, a desert land, he wants to find the blessing for you. Oh, only one person over here like got it. There's 300 people in the room and one person's like, amen. 299 of you are like, yes, he wants to bless somebody else. God is looking for a green meadow to make you lie down in so that you can eat until your belly is full so that you can and will be blessed. Now we got 15 people that are trying to get the rest of you going. I'm gonna stop right here until you get this. God wants to bless you. I'm just saying. Can you say that? God wants to bless me. Okay, this section over here, y'all are a little backslidden. God wants to bless me. And the shepherd knows where the good grass is. He loves you. He knows where the good grass is. This church is a good green meadow for you to be full of. But not just Sunday morning. Being a part of one of our life groups during the week. Being a part of one of our dream teams. Being a part of our outreach. Maybe going to a conference for the family or for your youth or for the youth last week at camp. What? Right? Maybe reading a really good Christian book that helps to understand, you know, Old Testament prophecy or the book of Galatians or, you know, whatever. But something that you can dig your teeth into and it's going to help to feed you. Maybe it is physical. You need a better job. You need to get an increase in your salary. Why do you think that God doesn't want to find and navigate you and your career to that green and lush grass? He wants to bless you. And when he finds that place of blessing, he wants you to receive and then rest. He wants you to rest. Stop striving. God has it under control. So here's the deal. Sheep plural, and a sheep. I probably should have prepared that, and if I cussed a little bit, I'm sorry. I'll have to play that back later and see how that went down. If I did, I'm really sorry. It wasn't intentional. I'll push the limits, but not that limit. So the FCC, that's my limit right there. So the Lord wants you to rest, but sheep will not lie down until their bellies are full, until they feel safe, until they're a part of the rest of the flock, meaning that there's unity. And then when they feel safe, when they feel full, and when they feel unified with their flock, they'll all lie down together. Sometimes we go our whole life never really resting in the Lord because we've never gotten to be a part of the flock that he's called us to. We've never fed on the blessings that he's trying to feed us with. And we've never stopped trying to cause such division and strife and that we would just rest in unity with one another. Back to our story. He leads me beside a peaceful stream. Why is that a big deal? He leads me beside a peaceful stream. Wouldn't that just seem to make sense? Can I let you in a little secret? Other than the fact that sheep have no natural defenses, sheep have a gigantic weakness. They can't swim. And their wool, as it grows, if it gets wet, like in a heavy rainstorm, it weighs them down. So when sheep come to a river, it's not like a cow or a horse that'll start to figure it out. A sheep will simply not step into the river because they have a weakness, because they know they could drown. So the good shepherd finds the still and peaceful part of the river for the sheep to come to drink. And if there is rushing water, the shepherd will go into the river and he'll take big rocks and he'll dam up a pool just special for his sheep to drink. The Lord is the good shepherd. He loves you. He knows that you have a weakness. And the good shepherd isn't afraid of your weakness. He's not afraid of your problems. The good shepherd still wants you to drink from the river, even though you have some weaknesses in your life. He's not afraid of your addictions. He's not afraid of your anxiety. He's not afraid of your fear, of your loneliness, of your greed, of your pride. He's not afraid of the areas in your life that you know are weaknesses. Instead, he takes you to the river of God, and he wants you to still drink from the river of God. We often feel like when we struggle with things in our life that we're disqualified from being a part of the flock. We're disqualified from drinking from the river of God. Not the case. The good shepherd knows you have a weakness, and he still leads you to the river, and he still wants you to drink from the river of God. So some of you that might be new to church, you're like, you keep saying river of God, like that's some sort of Pentecostal metaphor. It is. Let me explain. Jesus said, come to me, all of you that are weary, I'm gonna give you rest. Come to me, all of you that are thirsty, and I will give you a river of living water that will flow out from within you. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. So yes, I'm using the river of God as a spiritual metaphor because he wants you, a weak, dumb, defenseless, dirty sheep, to still drink from the Holy Spirit. Why is he doing all this? Why is the shepherd leading me? Why is he taking me to the green pasture? Why is he taking me to the Holy Spirit? Why is he taking me to the place where I can draw from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Verse 3, he renews my strength. He wants to renew your strength. Other translations say he restores my soul. So you can come into church on a Sunday morning. You can go to that great conference. You can read that great Holy Spirit book or whatever. And you can be like, yeah, I receive this word and I receive this in my heart. And it's like, this is so good. It's just filling me up. But here's the problem. We leak. And by Friday and Saturday, it's like our souls are dry. And it's like a desert wasteland in our heart. And we feel like we have nothing to draw from. Like we've just been knocked down. And we need the Lord to refresh us and restore us in our soul. And he will, because he loves you. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the scriptures in verse 3 says he wants to restore your soul. He wants to strengthen. And you might say, wait a second, that's not super spiritual. That's the natural side of who I am. Yep. And the Lord wants to restore and strengthen the natural side of who you are too. Sometimes the very best thing you can do is go put your butt in the beach and put your feet in the water. Or climb the mountain and look at the lake and the snow-capped mountains in the background. Or you can just do whatever it takes for you to rest and let your soul be refreshed. Well, that just doesn't sound very spiritual. It is very spiritual to allow the Lord to restore your soul. Sometimes we go through difficult things. We lose a loved one. We lose a job. We lose money in the stock market. We lose something in our life. We've lost a marriage. And we're in this situation where it's like, my soul is crushed and broken. And the Lord's like, I know. I want to restore it. I want to refresh you. Just breathe me in. I'm going to guide you. And I'm gonna bring you to a path that's got a picnic so that I can bring honor to my name. Think about that. If we're his kids, if we're his sheep and he is our shepherd, and we do what we're supposed to do, it brings honor to the name of the Lord, when we respond and we eat the grass he leads us to eat, we receive that blessing, we drink from the Holy Spirit, we drink from the river, we follow the Good Shepherd, we're on the right path. He leads us. Now, sometimes the path gets narrow. But it's a good path. You're on the right path, even when it's the narrow path. When it goes over the mountaintop, you're like, yes, praise hallelujah. I'm on the mountaintop with the Lord. Sometimes it's the narrow path that goes through the valley. And we go through that dark time. We go through that difficult time. But let me tell you something. You stay on the path, you're safe. You're good. You're fine. There are other paths. There are broad paths. Other people, other Christians are taking the broad path. But you're like, no, I feel like I need to stay on this narrow path where I feel like my shepherd is leading me. And if you would be obedient to that, it honors the name of the Lord when we follow him. So just let everybody else go their way. You follow the voice of the shepherd who is leading you. It brings honor to the Lord. And I tell you something, it brings dishonor to the Lord when you go chasing off after other paths that he's not trying to lead you down. God has a path for your life. Are you getting this? This is amazing. We haven't even gotten to the picnic yet. I think I'm preaching better than you're amening. I'm just telling you right now. God has a path for your life, and sometimes it goes over the mountain, and sometimes it goes through the valley, and sometimes it goes by the water, and sometimes it goes through the luscious green grass. But it's God's path, it's God's favor, and there's too many Christians, and I mean like too many Christians, that lose their way at the valley. They're okay on the mountaintop. They're okay by the river. They're doing okay in the green meadow. But that valley, we lose our dang mind. And we act like God's not real. Maybe God hates us a little bit. I must have done something wrong to be going through all these struggles. Look, I told you about the shift in verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Because you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me, and you've prepared a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Golly. David's going through the valley and he's like, don't freak out. I asked for two enemies, two big guys to be enemies today. Tony, were you one of them? Who was the second enemy? Do I have a second enemy? Good, come on, Dwayne, you'll be an enemy. You guys have to run up here real quick. So here's the deal. I'm on the path of life. I see a picnic table, and on each side of the picnic table are two big enemies. So just stand here by these tables, right? Just, you're right here, good, you're right here, good. And I'm just on the path of life. I'm over here by the green pasture. I'm over here by the river of God. I'm like, this is praise hallelujah time. I'm over here by the mountaintop. Everything's going amazing. And then all of a sudden, I start coming into this dark place. I start coming into this dark valley. Things start going wrong in my life. I feel like maybe I've lost my way. I've lost a marriage. I've lost a job. I'm in a dark place. I don't know where I'm going, but I still feel like I'm hearing the voice of my shepherd. I still feel like I'm in the right place. And now I'm coming into this dark, narrow valley, and I'm like, oh, well, here are my enemies. These are big dudes. But what do I see right in front of me? I see the table that the Lord has prepared for me. I see the shepherd's staff and his rod. They're right there. And I find comfort that the Lord is preparing a table right in the presence of my enemies. Can you see it? Because so often we look at the enemy and we forget the table. We forget the rod of the shepherd. But the Lord is like, shoo, fly. I ain't bothered by you. All we see is the enemy. We don't see the table. We don't see the shepherd. We don't see the protection and the blessing that God wants to give us. Amen. But it's right in the middle of your enemies. You got to see it. Thanks, Phyllis. Did you guys know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been... Oh, wow. No. You're more excited about the enemy than you were about... Oh, whatever. So, have you ever been looking for your glasses and you're all over the house? You're like, where are my glasses? Know what I'm saying? You ever been like holding your keys and you're like, I've been looking for my keys for 20 minutes. You push the tile button and your phone beeps your hand. Like, uh-oh. I can't explain it to you. I cannot explain the next thing. It is a phenomenon. I'm a mildly sharp person. And every time I have to go to DFW, whether I'm flying out or I'm picking somebody up or dropping somebody off, there is a sign on 183 with like 24-inch letters that says, DFW Airport, this exit. More times than I would like to tell you, I have driven right past that exit. It was there. I just didn't see it. That dude got it. It was there. I just couldn't see it. Just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. We have to train our eyes to see what we're looking for. When we go through the valley, we have to train our eyes to look for the table, look for the blessing, look for the shepherd. It's there. And you might say, bro, you don't understand. I'm not on God's path. Everything is wrong. I'm in a dark place. I'm surrounded by cancer and bankruptcy and trouble and strife. And that doesn't mean you're not on the right path. Look for the table. Look for the shepherd. He wants to bless you in the midst of that place. So today you got to make up your mind. I'm looking for the table. I'm looking for the shepherd. I'm looking for his staff. And so often we're like, no, preacher, you don't understand, man. Like there's some things I've done in my life where I don't deserve the table. I don't deserve the shepherd. I'm in a bad place. And the enemy's been eating my lunch. But meanwhile, Jesus is over here like, hey, y'all hungry? Sit down. And you're like, no, Lord, you don't understand. There's darkness all around. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. And you're like, no, Lord, listen, I'm in such a dark place. I can't seek you right now. That's the perfect time to seek the shepherd. At the darkest hour, look for the table. At the darkest place, in the presence of your enemies, you still look for the shepherd, for his rod, and for his staff. Why? Because that's where your comfort is. We go through dark times and we're like, I just don't feel comforted. Because you're not looking for the shepherd. That's where you're, don't quit when things get bad. Don't give up when you're going through the valley. Life has both mountaintops and valleys. Take them both. It's like a book, if you will. Sometimes there's a chapter of the mountaintop. There's a chapter of the lush green meadow. There's a chapter of the river of God. There's a chapter of the valley and the dark place and the enemies. Go through it. Turn the page. It's not the end of the story. Sometimes seasons change. There's a new chapter coming in your life. So look for the table. And you might be like, I don't understand. How can the Lord be so chill in the presence of cancer? How can the Lord be so chill when we're signing divorce papers? How can the Lord be so cool when I've been laid off? I don't understand. I'm surrounded by all these enemies because the good shepherd defeated your enemy 2,000 years ago. He doesn't need to go to the cross again. He doesn't need to defeat sickness and death and hell and the grave again. It's a finished work. He's not scared of the devil because he beat that punk up 2,000 years ago. You're like, no, man, I'm facing depression. I'm facing cancer. I'm facing some real stuff. And the Lord is like, yeah, and I'm going to embarrass all of them. Yeah. I'm going to eat. I'm going to be blessed when those enemies are right here. And do you not remember what comforted David was the shepherd's staff? See, this is a shepherd talking. And King David, the record is, while he was a young man, while he was a shepherd, he killed a lion and a bear with his shepherd's staff. Me personally, couldn't have done that. I'd have ran and all my father's sheep would have been eaten. Just letting you know. That was a bad dude. It was amazing. But that's, what does that say? Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is not some limp-wristed, mamby-pamby, milk-toast shepherd. He's bad. I almost said he's BA, but you can't say that in church. Caught myself. I was close. He's victorious. And think about it. With that shepherd's staff, he would take it and he would beat the enemy away. So when you see that, you take comfort because Jesus is here and he's batting 1,000. But think about the shepherd. So think about the shepherd's staff. It's got a hook at the end, doesn't it? That's for my correction. Oh, I want the mountaintop. I want the lush meadow. I want to drink from the Holy Spirit. I want to have a picnic even in the valley. I want to look at my good shepherd. I want him to take that thing and I want him to beat off the enemy and destroy them and kill them. But I don't want him grabbing me by the neck because I want what I want. I'm an American sheep. I'm an American, not an Americant. The shepherd will hook you by the neck. And you'll feel it in your heart. You'll feel it in your... You shouldn't be sleeping with somebody you're not married to. You shouldn't be lying at work. You shouldn't be getting drunk. You shouldn't be getting high. You shouldn't be throwing temper tantrums. You shouldn't... Brad, you shouldn't... I threw a temper tantrum this morning. All my staff is like... You shouldn't be throwing temper tantrums, Pastor. Because you feel the Holy Spirit hook your neck and pull you back to the path of righteousness. And if we'll do this, he honors us. What? He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows because of his goodness. And you got to remember, go back 3,000 years. Nobody gets covered in oil, in anointing oil, except for the priest. And he's anointing the sheep. He's anointing the people with the anointing oil. You have been anointed. You're a priest. You're a pastor. You're an evangelist. You're a prophet to your workplace, to your unsaved family, to your dog park, to wherever you go on vacation this year. God has given you, by drinking from his Holy Spirit, blessing, signs, wonders, miracles, faith, more than you can handle, so that your cup overflows. Surely, verse 6, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue you all the days of your life, and you're going to live in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask you a question. If I were to say, if you could define in a person, who is unfailing love? I would answer that: Jesus. Jesus, unfailing love, will pursue you all the days of his life. David was saying that the goodness of God will pursue. In Hebrew, it's radaf. It means to chase down like a dog. I've told you guys that I like watching those little 4-minute live PD clips on YouTube. They release, I can't watch the show because it's like 9 hours long, but I'll watch the, I don't have that much time, but I'll watch the little 4 minutes. And when they do those police dog trainings, or actually a few weeks ago, they had a real police video where they were calling out. They're like, I'll release the dog. And then that dog was like, do it, just do it, do it. Unhook it. And the sheriff reached over. That dog took, I've never seen a dog run so fast. Went straight into this brush, grabbed this dude by the shoulder and threw a grown man down to the ground. It was amazing. That's what the blessing of God will do to your life if you stay on this path. It will overpower you. It'll chase you down. And you're like, that's a weak golf. I don't know if I believe that. What, you don't believe the Bible? You know more than the Bible knows. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, that unfailing love and the goodness of God wants to chase you down. And you're like, no, he doesn't want to chase me down. You never get chased down because you don't even believe that God's trying to chase you down. 1 Peter 2:25, and I'll end with this. Once you were like sheep that wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, my shepherd, the guardian of your soul. And if the Lord is not the shepherd of your heart, of your life here this morning, and you're what we'd call a lost sheep, I'm telling you, the shepherd is looking for you right now. He's chasing you down. He'll leave the flock. He'll leave the 99 and he'll chase down the one. Why? To restore your soul. I heard a story this week, and it doesn't really pertain to the message, but it was too good to not add in my sermon, so I'm just going to force it in here. It's an illustration, an illustrated story. Imagine, if you will, 2,000 years ago, there's a carpenter living in Jerusalem at the time of the Roman occupation, at the time that there was Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth, that was teaching and doing miracles. And there's a carpenter in Jerusalem, and he just got a big order from the Roman government. So he's excited. And he goes into his workshop and he tells his son, hey, when you get home from school this afternoon, we got a big order from the Romans. We got a lot of work to do. And the kid's like, great. I love doing chores with dad after school. He wanted to watch TV, right? 2,000 years ago. So I love that 3 people got that joke. He goes to school. He comes home. He comes in. His dad says, all right, take this wood and start hewing it down. We got to cut it up into sections. We need little pieces and big pieces. The Romans ordered a bunch of crosses. And the little boy's like, they're going to take those crosses and kill us Jews. Son, it's a big order. It's going to help our family. Start hewing that wood. So he's scraping the bark off, and they're working that into long pieces and short pieces. Next day, dinner time. Little boy's sitting at the table. He starts to cry. His parents come in. They're like, what's wrong? Like, man, you know, I was in the market after school. I was coming home. Do you remember Jesus from Nazareth, that rabbi we listened to that one time? Well, the Romans they killed him this afternoon. And they killed him on one of our crosses. And the dad was like, no, 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 son, I'm sure it wasn't one of our crosses, man. There's a lot of carpenters that are making crosses for Rome. He's like, no, dad, I know it was my cross. Because yesterday afternoon, I didn't want to do what I was doing, so I was fooling around, and I carved my name into the bottom of that cross. And when I was coming home from the marketplace, Jesus was carrying his cross, but he stumbled and fell under the weight of it, and I was right there, and I saw my name on the side of that cross. Jesus was nailed to my cross. Let me tell you something. Jesus was nailed to a cross that has your name on it, that has my name on it. He died in our place. Why did he do that? So that he could restore our soul. If Jesus is not the shepherd of your life, the good shepherd is chasing you down. You're in the right place. Can I say something funny about sheep? They have no homing instinct. Like if cattle break out, they'll eventually make their way back to the farm. If horses break off, they'll eventually make their way back on the trail, back to the house. Say dogs run away, give them a few hours, they'll work their way back. Sheep have no homing instinct. Trying to find their way back, sheep are so dumb, they just keep getting further and further and further lost. They need a shepherd to chase them down and find them. Christians are so funny. They're so super spiritual. They'd be like, well, I went to church and I found Jesus. You didn't find Jesus. He wasn't the one that was lost. But there was a shepherd who was like, he's chasing you down. You're like, no, one more church service and then I'll get right with God. One more altar call and then I'll raise my hand and I'll make Jesus Lord. I want to get high one more time. I want to sleep with somebody one more time. I want to lie one more time. I'm going to put it off. And then you're in your 80s and you're dying and the hospice nurse comes in and says, y'all need to say your goodbyes. And you're like, oh wait, I got to get right with Jesus. That's how you want to do it? That's how you want to roll? You want to be last second guy? Or do you want to live your life following that path that the good shepherd has set out after you? Why? He wants to restore your soul. Why? So that you can live in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. Hop up on your feet. Sometimes we hear that verse and we're like, yeah, praise the Lord. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord as long as nobody makes me mad in church. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord as long as they sing the songs I like to sing at the decibel level I like to hear. We're going to stay in the house of the Lord forever as long as it's the preacher style that I like and he doesn't get too old. Or close your eyes and pray. Lord, I thank you that even in John 10, I remind you that you said you are the good shepherd. And I would have to agree with that. Jesus, you are the best shepherd. You chase us down. You restore our soul. You bless us when we don't deserve blessing. You anoint our heads with oil when we don't deserve it. You pour out your Holy Spirit, your gifts, your calling on us. You let us drink from the river of God. You've prepared a place for us at that river. And Lord, you fill our bellies with blessing and then you make us lie down and rest. You restore our soul. You're so good. I love you. I thank you. I bless you. I honor you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just talk to your heart a little bit. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not the shepherd of your soul, or you have gotten off of the path that God is leading you on, or you gave up on the Lord when you went through a valley and you're like, crud, man, I didn't look for the table. I didn't look for the Lord. I didn't look for his staff. I need to get right with God. Today is your day. Christians, if you know Jesus well, this is your time to pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to soften our hearts to see Jesus as the Lord of our lives, as the shepherd of our soul. So listen, if you're here this morning and Jesus is not the good shepherd of your heart, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to invite you to repent of any sin in your life and turn to the Lord. Whether it's the first time, or maybe it's the first time in a long time, you walked with God as a younger person, but somehow you got off the path. Somehow you got upset. You got twisted with God. You got twisted with the church. You got twisted with the preacher. And you kind of went off and did your own thing. And you ended up in here in church this morning. And you feel like your heart is pounding out of your chest right now. That's the shepherd chasing you down. That's the shepherd knocking on the door of your heart, so desperately wanting to restore your soul. So let's pray. If it's the first time, or the first time in a long time, would you shoot your hand up real high right now and say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand over there. Is there anybody else? I see your hand over there. Is there anybody else? Come on, somebody. Raise your hand up real high. Okay, good. Hey, why don't we all pray this prayer together? Can we do that? Just say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you are the good shepherd and that you forgive our sins. So please, forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive your blessing. I receive eternal life that I could walk with you through mountaintops and valleys, and that my eyes will be fixed on you and the table that you have prepared for me. I believe that you are the good shepherd and you want to bless me. So help me to keep my eyes on you, to hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody. Two people gave their heart to Jesus today.